Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. Mohammed Al-Qassem, he's the bureau chief at Media Line News Agency. These last days in Ukraine, he has traveled from Kyiv to the east, to Kharkiv, back to Kyiv, and he's now headed to Lviv on the westernmost part of Ukraine. In the meantime, he's had opportunity to see the shelling and rocketing of Kharkiv, to travel the train back and forth with the refugees and the people of Ukraine who have not left their country. And he's also, after seeing the atrocities, the alleged war crimes at Bucha and Irpin and Hostomel, has attended a new site that we're guided to by the president of the country in these last hours. The headlines out of London. Volodymyr Zelensky has warned that the situation in the town of Borodyanka is much worse than in nearby Bucha, where crimes have been reported. The president of Ukraine made the comments during his evening address, in other words, hours before now, reacting to the news that Russia has been suspended from the UN Human Rights Council. Mohammed, a very good day to you. You were on a train headed to Lviv. However, at the same time, you're going to take us over your travels these last days since we spoke midweek. You traveled from Lviv after spending the day in Hostomel and seeing the destruction there at the airfield that was fought over by the Russian invaders and the Ukrainians, so that the Ukrainians were successful, but much of it was destroyed. You took the train from Kyiv to Kharkiv. When you arrived in Kharkiv, what did you see, Mohammed? You were in the city center. Good day to you.
Good day to you too. The city was under shelling, continuous shelling for a while. It took us a few hours, about 7 hours, before we were able to enter the city. And it's one of the most dangerous zones here in Ukraine. The east and the south is probably now where the attention of the Russian military is on. And the second largest city in Ukraine, Kharkiv, is under continuous shelling, under continuous targeting by Russian rockets and missiles. We were fortunate enough to go out and about and speak with the residents of the city, those who opted not to leave the city. And they said that they have nowhere else to go. They, despite the lack of money, work, water, electricity, continuous net, they say that they will stay in the city. But for how long, they don't know. And they don't even know how long will the city be able to withstand not falling to the Russians. But walking around the few hours that we did, all you can see is complete destruction. And I hate to repeat myself and use cliches and so forth, but we assumed that what we saw in Irpin was topped, then that was topped by Bucha. And then we kept going from one town and one village to another for those places that were occupied by the Russian military. And right now, I can tell you that whatever we see, I'm pretty sure during this war, we will see even worse. And Kharkiv is under dire situation. It's not completely besieged, but it's pretty much besieged, and it's an unsafe city. Because of the continuous shelling by the Russian forces on the city. This is a city that Russia intends to take at any price, like Mariupol, or maybe even the regions of Donetsk and Luhansk. Those are areas that Russia intends to take at any price, especially given the failure that its military has seen in the Kyiv area.
Does Kharkiv have power? Does it have lights? Does it have water? Is the infrastructure intact?
It's still intact, yes. Even today, I was able to make phone calls with some of the people that I interviewed, and also some of the people that we work with. And at this point, we are able to call. We don't get through easily, but they do have water, net, and power. And not continuously, but yes, they do.
And the city of Kyiv was largely three-quarters gone when I talked to it 2 weeks ago. Has Kharkiv been evacuated by the most vulnerable, the women, the families, the children? Have they all left Kharkiv?
Not all of them. I mean, those who elected to leave, they were, especially at the beginning when things were a little bit easier, they were able to leave. Now it's extremely dangerous. Going in is dangerous. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the rocket attack on in the east on a train station.
Yes.
That killed at least 50 people, of which five are children. So even the train stations, which you would think that it's for the civilian usage, everybody. I mean, I came through a train station here, the main one in the capital, Kyiv. And in Kyiv, you wouldn't think here or in any other train station that it would be targeted, given the mass number of civilians on those train stations who are trying to leave, seeking refuge elsewhere. And that's why even with the train station working in Kharkiv, it's not a safe area. However, for those who were able to leave at the early stages of the Russian invasion, have successfully made their way out of the city. But many, they say that this is their city and they don't want to go anywhere. They have nowhere else to go.
You spent hours in Kharkiv, and then you were back on the train for Kyiv. How long a trip is it from Kharkiv to Kyiv under wartime conditions?
7.5 hours.
That's quite
interestingly. Many of the train schedules still somewhat stayed the same as before the war. I mean, I'm on a train now, and it was supposed to be out at 2012. Now it's about 2020. Or 8:20 our time, and it started now slowly moving. So, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute delay with schedules. But, you know, interestingly, they're still working on schedule.
You traveled during the daytime to Kharkiv and back. Could you see the countryside, or was it at night?
At night.
At night. So, and you had regular stops on the way. All right, we're back to Kyiv now. Now, this is the important part, where you were able to, from Kyiv, travel out to the village that I'm just reading about now in the London papers, Borodyanka, which the president has said is much worse. It is how far from Bucha and Hostomel would you estimate?
Not very far, probably 15, 20 minutes max. In fact, we took pretty much the same road that takes us into Irpin, then after Irpin takes you into Bucha. However, we didn't go through these towns to get to Borodyanka. What we did is we took a highway for a short ride and then a parallel road to the one that we would have taken going through the two towns. And we could see the buildings in Irpin and in Bucha, but we turned left more northwest to Borodyanka. Not very far. I would say 15, 20 minutes max from Bucha and Irpin.
All right. You drove out to Borodyanka. I have seen one drone video of Borodyanka. It resembles, the only thing I have in my experience, it resembles what Berlin looked like in 1945 after the fall to the Russians. All the residential towers are damaged, with showing enormous scars from burning. The streets look littered. Was it the same battlefield that you found in Bucha and Irpin?
Worse. The destruction in the center of Borodyanka is the worst that I have seen in any of the towns around Kyiv and of its size. We've been covering this war for weeks now, and even if we compare it to the much fought over Irpin and Bucha, there was a fierce battle and brutal fighting in both towns. But you can multiply this by 100 for what we have seen. I mean, buildings have been extremely badly damaged by Russian artillery. They were hammered. They were destroyed. Many of the faces of the residential towers that we drove through in the rainy, cold day today, especially, started to rain on us real heavily. They were all gone. And despite all of that, we saw rescue efforts are undertaken by the local fire department. But at this point, they say chances of reaching anyone alive under the rubble is pretty much slim to zero, probably. But, during the occupation of Prodyanka and during the shelling of Prodyanka, the Russian forces and you could tell that they target pretty much everything. Even the there is a school for a music school that we stood outside and we were talking to the locals about it, and they couldn't believe that even the music school was completely destroyed, and nothing has left of it really. So nothing was safe in Prodyanka, just like elsewhere. But the damage and the destruction is far more than we have seen in any other town of its size in the Kyiv region.
I'm speaking to Mohammed Al-Qassem, bureau chief of Media Line News Agency. He's on a train in Ukraine now, leaving Kyiv for Lviv to the far west of the country. When we come back, we're going to go in detail at Borodyanka, which the president of the country told the world last night in his nightly address is worse than Bucha and Irpin. What about civilian casualties? What about the remains of the Russian headquarters in Borodyanka if they were there? Why the wide-ranging destruction of non-military suburban sites? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.